prison of endless possibility.
Ladies and gents, boys and girls, no children allowed on this one. It's the plus time. Watches the plus. It's me, Sam. Or actually, I'm not Sam. That's Sam across from me. I'm Moz. And we're doing a little daytime recording, which we don't usually do. So I decided that I would go ahead and bust out the daytime Lagunitas draft. And it wasn't cold. Sam, when he heard it, he thought, oh, it sounds cold. Well, little story short, you know, I'm kind of a savage when it comes to certain things. And frankly, I have a giant coffee mug filled with ice. So, I put ice in my beer when it's not cold. I know that's probably sacrilege for many people, but that's just what we're going to do today because it's episode 4. We got to do some drinking for John Walker because he's tipped to the dark side. And there's some interesting news that has popped up on the feeds and a few shows that I think you absolutely need to drop everything and you need to watch almost immediately.
You know, Moz, when you make a cocktail, you can always have ice in it. So that's my trick of the trade.
Okay, see, there you go. I'm having a barley cocktail.
It doesn't really make a lot of sense that the person named Sam Adams doesn't love beer, but you know, here we are.
I know. I mean, look, why do you think that we work well together? Because you are the man who knows beer.
The worst part is my dad owns a bar too. Still not a huge beer fan. I mean,
it's all perfect. So, Sam, let me just start out. Like, you just gave me this link to something coming out on Netflix, which is Army of the Dead, which for, I guess, Snyderheads, this is going to be a big deal. As much heat as this guy has generated in the past month or two, well, and in really a whole year, he's got a new movie out. Now, I happen to know that this movie was actually done quite some time ago because Chris D'Elia is in it. Now, if those of you don't know who Chris D'Elia is, I bet you could do a little bit of searching. Comedian Chris D'Elia, he's got a little bit of heat on him, specifically with some underage Snapchatting and things of that nature. But he had discussed this movie. He remember saying something about Batista being in it. And I didn't know what kind of movie it was. I just saw a picture. I didn't know anything more about it. But it is a zombie movie. Now, we figured zombie movies were pretty much done and maybe kind of in the ground for a while. But here we are. And it looks kind of interesting. It breaks a lot of zombie rules that I personally have an issue with a little bit. Smart zombies is a little awkward for me. I don't know if there's such a thing as being a purist, but for me, it seems to scratch some itches. Now, what's interesting is D'Elia has been kind of canceled, and then Tig Notaro is also in it, and I'm kind of curious as two comedians who really are kind of slightly might be on opposite sides of the fence, how that actually worked out. I'm actually kind of surprised this movie came out, to be honest with you. But I think it was the Snyder heat that brought it out.
Yeah, I didn't notice D'Elia in the trailer, did you?
Mm-mm.
So I'm wondering.
I actively looked because I was like, wait a minute, I think this is the Batista movie that he was part of.
Yeah, and so part of me wonders, did Tig Notaro replace him in reshoots?
Okay, when I looked up the cast on just a cursory Google search, he came up. It's going to be okay. I'd be curious.
Or who knows, maybe they move his death scene up and he's barely in it.
We
shall see. Yeah, I had no idea he was in this. I was actually very surprised because I noticed Tig Notaro in it. And I was like, is that Tig Notaro? And yeah. I had to go and look at the cast list. I was like, oh, yeah, sure is. So, I'm interested. I am no big zombie movie purist. I would say that my probably biggest zombie thing I've watched is Walking Dead, and like most
and then
people
you fell off as we all
yeah like yeah most people I kind of fell off, and I fell off a little later than most. I got all the way to the Whisperers, and I still finally just opted out. I was like, okay, so we just teased that we were going to get into a war with them for a whole season. I'm out. This is – you guys are just stretching it out at this point.
Yeah, it's a little too deep for me. I was just like, I don't know.
Funny that in this post-apocalyptic world that money still has value.
Correct. That's the other thing is like it is a zombie movie with the slash heist film. So we're going to have like Ocean's 11 meets Walking Dead, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see if they do something interesting with it. I mean, Zack Snyder is kind of a hit or miss guy, and I think he has a few more misses than hits, but he can make interesting movies. So maybe we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It's on Netflix. We're paying for it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's part of our plus. Now, speaking of pluses. All right, so we talked about Ted Lasso being kind of like the marquee, at least for us, of like Apple Plus shows. I was just – this came through the ether of a show that I didn't know anything about, had heard absolutely zero about. But the person who gave it to me said, look, I want you to watch some of these and we need to talk. The show is called Calls. It's on Apple Plus. It is, in my opinion, one of the most unique types of shows. It blurs the line for me between there was a podcast. What was it? Welcome to Night Vale, where it was like these narrative stories rather than just, the two jagoffs talking on a mic and then putting it out into the Ethernet. It was more very story based, and I gotta tell you, I was on 25 milligrams of edibles, and I was completely mesmerized and freaked out. I couldn't get through. I only went through the first, I think, three or four, and I had to stop because it got too real. Now there is no real video; it's basically animated text with some interesting ways of presenting. The speakers that are on these phones or talking, it is fantastic and a must for everyone.
Oh, see, now I didn't realize that it wasn't actual actors and whatnot. So it's mostly just.
Well, I say actors. Rosario Dawson's in it. There are high profile actors that are doing that are speaking on it. So you don't just know that. Right off the bat, like we're not talking like this is just like some fly by night, college improv group. I mean, this is actually well produced.
Okay, well, no, I was intrigued by the trailer itself, so I'm gonna have to. I feel like I'm a little bit behind on my Moe's recommendations. I got a few things I still got to watch. Although I'm still knee deep in Invincible. I don't know if you've given that a shot yet. They're up to episode 5, and I guess there's kind of like Amazon. There's only going to be 8 this year, so. I was kind of bummed. I was hoping since it was animated that maybe we'd get 10, but I think that 6 to 8 seems to be the magic number for any drag.
I was super close to Invincible. Like I had Prime Video pulled up because I just found out Tropic Thunder and UHF were on. I end up watching UHF, and then all of a sudden I got the text about the calls or calls, and I was just like, okay, well let me just take a look. And they're 16 to 26 minutes long. I mean, they're very short. They're very used to like everything that we've been watching. But once I went down that path, I just got caught. I just could not stop until it got too real. And I was having a little bit of a freak out.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's one of the interesting things about shows is that we used to be so scheduled in, okay, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock is my comedy block on Thursday night. And this is when I watch my dramatic show. And now we have so much choice that sometimes you kind of like me with Solar Opposites. I kind of keep coming to it and I'm just not quite in the mood for it.
I get it.
And then, when Ted Lasso hit, I watched the two episodes and the only thing that kept me from watching it all of it in one day was knowing that there was only 8 or 10 and that I had to slowly as soon as I finished it, it was going to be the countdown to when season 2 went out. So it's kind of funny. I feel like everybody always has some show they're recommending to you.
Yeah.
And it's tough because sometimes you're just like, I don't know if I, and then plus you're not even sure what kind of mood that show is going to put you in. So sometimes when trying something new can be even more daunting because you're like, ah, man, I don't know. Am I in the mood for this? Is this what I'm feeling?
Yeah. You are hitting like a lot of different things. Like right now, like the idea of, yes, I'm getting, okay. Yeah. You want me to watch this, but like, am I in the mood for what is the, what am I in for? And like, I can tell you with calls, I don't know what kind of mood you can go into it as. I just know that, like, if you go into in a kind of a fearful, vulnerable space, I think you will get a lot out of it.
It sounds like it's almost something that you need to go into open-minded. Don't go in expecting anything.
It'll take you
for a little ride.
And if I was told what it was about, I probably wouldn't have watched it. To be perfectly frank with you, it would just be like, oh, I don't know about this. But I'm telling you, I'm purposefully not watching them in a blitzkrieg because there's so many interesting things that happen in these episodes. And so far, it does not seem like they're linked up. So think of almost like, I feel like it was almost like radio. Like I wasn't really, I mean, I'm not old enough to have like radio, you know, when people were listening to radio as TV. But that's the feeling I get. Like it's a drama between only a couple people, it's fascinating. It's very captivating for me. It leads to the imagination where, you know, I think that's one of the things that I've always enjoyed about music and things. Like I've always thought about the videos in my head or like where it takes me, and that's where this show really, you know, your creativity and imagination start to be piqued. And that's, for me, that's very exciting because everything's kind of, you know, like Zack Snyder, he's going to show you what he wants to show you. There's no imagining anything. It's all on screen. With this kind of show, you get to, you know, use your brain a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like that used to be kind of a rarity, was that, oh, look at this show that makes you think. And now there's so many of them out there. I mean, even just... I mean, look at Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's a buddy cop movie that also makes you think about race and borders and laws and, you know, just...
Sam, you know, we're already on Falcon. Are you buying into all this crap I'm seeing on YouTube and other places where people are bailing out on Falcon because of the social politics? I don't feel like I mean, it's not hitting me over the head with it.
No, and really, the whole Carly... thing is, I heard this mentioned on a different podcast, so I don't want to take too much credit for it, but they seem to, all the injustices seem to be her telling us that it's happening. We haven't really seen it. You know, I know we've seen these refugee relocation centers or whatever, but you know, I haven't seen the evil that she's supposedly fighting against. And so even though she sounds convincing in her ways, it almost like Zemo's right. She is a bit of a supremacist. And I don't get that.
Well,
I guess I just don't get that people are bailing on this show. And anytime I hear someone's bailing on a show because there's too many gay characters or they're forcing this person's sexuality down their throat, it's like, no, it's just, that's the point of view from that character. It's not, I don't necessarily think that it's always agenda driven. I think it just, you know, people are told to write what they know. You know, there's a diverse group of people in Hollywood telling stories. And so sometimes there's going to be something that's not just about America's great white hope that's going to jump in and save the day with a shield. That sometimes we pick people that aren't fit for the job, even though they look like they have all the qualifications and look good on the postage stamp. You know, so if people are bailing on the show because of politics, I think that they need to take a step back and stop politicizing everything in their life. I think that we do, you know, we choose what we spend our money on politically a lot now. We choose who we talk to, who do we follow on Facebook. It's like,
who do we block?
Yeah. I mean, and really, is this show asking any real questions that are so difficult that you can't grapple with them for 90 minutes or for 60 minutes? No.
Okay. I mean, I have a question then. Here's my question to you, because while I enjoyed this episode, it did dive a lot deeper into some causes and some ideas. But I don't know why exactly they're fighting. Now, I understand they're using this term, the blip. I'm not really a fan of it, but whatever. That's the vernacular. We're going to use it. So people left for 5 years. When they came back, these are the people that are upset because they came back and they don't have, I guess, their houses, their jobs, maybe their families. Is that what they're rebelling against?
Well, I think that just kind of steal from one of the other movies. I know when Aunt May came back, she said there was an Asian family living in her apartment, and yeah, that she almost scared the grandma to death or something. So, you know, she looks like she's getting back on her feet reasonably well. And so maybe this is the downtrodden parts of society that, you know, if you were worth $1 million and you came back, like, the bank figured your stuff out pretty quick. But if you had 10 cents in the bank and you came back, boy, are you screwed now? I mean, maybe that's kind of what we're looking at here, because, you know, it's not like you're hearing one of these people tell a story about, you know, I was worth $1 million, and then I blipped and I came back and somebody had given all my money away and it had been spent and there's nothing, you know, I'm homeless now or anything like that. Like, we're not hearing the injustices that these people are battling. They're just going, like, people are out there dying, you know, and it's just kind of like, who are these people?
I know. I think that's what I'm getting to, is like, as much as I enjoy where the show is progressing, it's like, wait a minute, where is this enemy? It seems to be this faceless enterprise that is a government, a world government institution that's trying to relocate everyone.
That's where I feel like we're losing, is maybe they've gone so hard to try and make her seem just in her cause that we kind of, like, she just kind of has to be cartoonishly bad in other portions of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get, yeah, it would be, I think it would have been more impactful if she doesn't blow up that station, she doesn't get the news coverage she wants, so then she decides she's going to kill Captain America because that's the only way to get everyone's attention, and then all this happens. Whereas it's just, she blew up this thing, so she's evil, but Sam's trying to bring her back to the good side, which I like that yes, he tried that to talk great. Her down.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that happened, I know, well, U.S. agent, I refuse to call him Cap, U.S. agent over here is going to ruin this in no time. And sure enough, he loses track of Zemo. Amazing the amount of time Zemo could have escaped. he waited till he was ready to escape. And kind of like I expected, I think that's the last we'll be seeing of Zemo. I mean, I know there's two episodes left, but it seems like he's going to be out there for another day. I think that's the last we're going to see of Wakanda, which I thought was great, them coming and saying, hey, you've got 8 hours. All right, the thing that you were holding, that they were smart enough to even say, the thing that you were holding him for, you went and did, it didn't work out, it's time to give him up now. And just watching them beat, I loved watching them beat up Cap and Battlestar, and Bucky just from the sidelines going, like, looking good, John.
Oh, look, I'm telling you, the whole reason, you know, John Walker is now flipped to the dark side, first of all, he telegraphed it with his ever-growing beard. But then you got to blame Wakanda. Wakanda basically, you know, created a nightmare. If not for Wakanda, he wouldn't have taken the super serum, in my opinion. So you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. I might be hyperbolizing, but however, you know, look, Walker was getting beat by two women, and he couldn't do what they could do, and it was clear that was the final straw.
Yeah, I was kind of unclear as to when he took the serum, because it almost seemed like he took it after they went into the building and they got separated, because those guys are running around and kicking him and punching him in the dark for a minute. And then all of a sudden he's bending pipes and kicking their ass.
Okay, so the clear point for me was when he threw the shield and it went into the wall. That was like, for me, that was it. That was like, oh, he did it.
Okay, so he probably had taken it before they went in on that mission. Yeah. Maybe he took it in between when him and Battlestar having that little chat at the cafe.
And that was clearly another telegraph, like, of, you know, it's, you know, the rationality of should I take the medicine or should I not?
Mm-hmm.
And Battlestar clearly wanted it.
Yeah, and interesting that they really drew the line between him and Sam, where when Zemo asked Sam if he'd take it, he said no, and he goes, no hesitation. You know, he's even kind of impressing Zemo.
I think Zemo is a great character now.
I hope he's around. I hope there's a Thunderbolts movie. He is hilarious, just the way he just shines a light on things, you know, and really is much more than just your normal bad guy. He's a very interesting character, and he's hilarious at times and resourceful. That the fact that everyone's going around like stupid cops trying to interrogate people as to where this thing is. He goes up to the kids with candy and goes, I've lost my friend. Do you know where she is? You know, kind of thing. It's like, oh yeah, that's going to get way more. It's going to get way more juice than going around and questioning people like, hey, I'm an Avenger. Talk to me.
Yeah. Apparently Turkish delights can get anybody to do anything.
And just little breadcrumbs, like, these are my son's favorite, and you know.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
I just go, yeah, he doesn't have a son anymore because of Sokovia.
Okay, now, so. I am really – now, this is hyperbole. However, I almost believe it. Those that follow me and you know, and the things that I like know that I think the way in which D'Onofrio played the Kingpin is probably the paramount of villains. And – I'm telling you, I think – I can't remember the guy's name right now. Zemo is getting – he is coming danger close to number two, to MCU villainy and MTV villainy.
Yeah, I got to put him – right. I mean, really, he's as interesting as Thanos, as you know, he's right there with Loki. I've got to put him up there in the hierarchy. He's on the Mount Rushmore of bad guys. And it's interesting because it's not even somebody that you're like, even if you kind of understand Thanos's reasoning, he's still rolling around killing people. You're not at all sympathetic to him. I feel like him and Loki are two of the most sympathetic villains that you've seen. Kingpin maybe less so because he more had daddy issues, but, yeah, but I mean, as pound for pound, I mean, acting great, lines, everything, even whether it's making a Zemo dance or him pointing out how ridiculous it is that Sam can't wear outlandish clothing in America.
I literally, like, I mean, you know, we both are watchers of Mr. Sunday movies, and their clips of Zemo dancing are just a treat. It's the kind of supercut that I like to see a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the Weekly Planet. I was listening to their podcast before we hopped on here. They're one of my go tos. It's probably the one podcast that I make sure I listen to within a couple days of when it comes out every week. That it's just kind of when I had a commute Monday morning, was always like, oh, sweet, new one, boom. And it's funny. It's just like, I don't even know how I got into these two Australian guys.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but they're delightful.
Mm-hmm. They used to be the official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. I know that's how I discovered them, but then they just slowly were like, yeah, we're not associated with them anymore. We're doing our own thing.
Interesting. So more about Falcon. You know, I don't, you know, I guess the rumor mill is such that there is a character that we're going to see in episode 5 that is grounded, quotation marks implied, and that would be a good fit with Thor. You know, I think maybe you had said Storm to me. I mean, I think we always keep reaching for X-Men, but I just don't – apparently it's somebody we have not seen before, but that would work well with Thor.
The grounded part threw me. And I like that they came out recently and said, hey, look, we wouldn't be hyping up and saying that, you know, somebody's in this and do a switcheroo and put Black Panther in there. Like, he's not in this. Like, I think they kind of came out and said, hey, anybody that's thinking that T'Challa is showing up next episode, that's not the character. But it's somebody, it's a well-known actor, but a character we've never seen before. And when I hear grounded, I kind of put that into the non-powered realm, but okay, maybe that's not the case, because I just the working well with Thor thing is the curveball that I'm just like, okay, we're going to meet the power broker, or we're going to meet so and so, and then it's like, work well with Thor.
I mean, I can't.
That's the part that maybe it's just that one of those fan things where it's like, I always thought Thor should bang Moira MacTaggert or something. But yeah.
Well, and like, and that's the whole reason I went with Storm is like, okay, lightning, but that seems weird, you know. But mm-hmm. like, but again, you know,
I think Storm has been a Thor in a comic book before too.
Oh, so geez.
That could be it. But I think that was one of those ones where there was like a million different Thors that they did recently, where there was like a Thor Corp and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Multiverse of Madness. It's you can do anything. That's what's fun about these stories. I don't really have any big theories. I mean, usually, like you said, I'd be trying to jam a Professor X or somebody in there that, you know, scratched my X-Men itch. But I feel like I just heard Matt Shackman talking about that, the showrunner for WandaVision. And he was like, guys, it was announced that mutants are coming a couple of years ago. Like, they're coming. Like, let us tell our own stories. Like, we'll put those breadcrumbs in when they're going to be here.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Again, I don't know that they're necessarily trying to tease the next big thing right now. I think right now, it's that slow expansion of the universe, flesh out some of these characters. Like, look at, you know, you already love both Sam and Bucky more than you did before this. You know, you see Sam's out there just trying to do the right thing. He's trying to do it without violence, which is an interesting route for a comic book
absolutely
movie. But, you know, maybe something that, again, a story some of us need to hear right now, that, you know, the things are a little too violent right now and people think that they need to take matters in their own hands. And like, hey, here's these guys that are basically vigilantes being trying to talk people off a ledge. So maybe slow your roll when you're waving that flag around. I think that we're just kind of, these stories are about these guys, and we'll see where it goes. I mean, have you watched the little preview for next week that they released?
I did watch some of it, and I'm hoping that I watched the right thing. But like, I keep seeing Bucky and Sam, you know, in the bayou somewhere throwing the shield. And I'm like, when does this happen? Why would they go back down to Louisiana? Because they're in Europe or somewhere now.
Yeah, that almost feels like that should be the ending. Like, are they showing us the last scene of the show?
It's very possible. It's very possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I try not to get too much into that, because who knows? That could be something that got cut, you know, that was supposed to be.
But why show that as a preview to really throw everybody off?
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, I had a theory that maybe they had the only person I've been wondering that might show up in this is, again, they threw out that Where is Captain America, the episode one. They really haven't gone back to it.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, it's always about how he's gone and how – and there's part of me that thinks, God, did they cast an old man to play old Cap so that Chris Evans can just go be Chris Evans? Are we going to get an appearance from that? I keep wondering if we're going to get another appearance from was it Isaiah?
For sure.
You know, I thought.
I don't know.
Maybe it will be Sam visiting him to tell him that he's fighting for him or something like that at the end of the thing. But I can't imagine that he was only going to be in one episode.
But it seems like they are in like the European bloc right now. Like, they're in Latvia. Like, I don't like. Are they? I don't see why. You know, it seems as though, and again, continuity of story, it feels like a majority of the Flag Smashers are not in America. So, but that, again, it's these questions of like, how global is this? They keep saying one world, one people, but we're localized to what, you know, less than five, maybe six actual like super soldiers at this point.
Yeah, because they're definitely down one. They're like,
right.
They're down one after this episode,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So. Well, and then we know they're down another one, because the one guy got shot, and apparently bullets work on super soldiers.
Yeah, I think they seem to kind of have that Wolverine bullet thing where, yeah, it'll slow them down a little bit, it'll hurt them, but it's not going to kill them, unless, you know, you're going to do double tap.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those situations where I'm having a hard time. I can telegraph certain things. Like, I knew, like, John Walker looked more and more off grid compared to when we first met him and we was doing the Good Morning America tour and he was clean shaven, ready to go. And he has gotten progressively darker and drearier. And then, you know, finally he goes social media murderer. And, you know, it's not like Cap hasn't murdered people, but geez, I mean, this was definitely, look, at the end of the day, when you ask the question of would Disney Plus have something kind of buck wild, they did, which is surprising to me. I mean, I would think that this kind of would be, you know, really pushing the limits of PG-13 and rated R in this episode, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I noted that last week when just the amount of time Sharon Carter was like blasting some dude in the face. And I was like, wow, they really showed that up close. Like, that was a little more. And I think it's just because it's streaming. They can really get away with anything they want. And probably they know that most of the people that have watched this stuff for 10 years have grown up along with it. So they know that people that were 10 when Iron Man came out are 22, 23 now. And so they can handle
interesting,
you know,
interesting
a messed idea. Up Cap. Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure that these things are still for kids. That's the reason they didn't actually show him decapitate the guy. But, you know, and just the difference between, you know, Cap saw a guy with his hands up in Iron Man and he broke his arc reactor. This guy chopped the guy's head off. And so and it's a little bit different. You know, Iron Man didn't kill Bucky like just happened to his best friend. But it just shows that. It's just an illustration of, hey, this guy took somebody that had his hands up, was surrendering, said, I give up, don't kill me. And he killed him anyways, where Cap would never do that. And I don't think Bucky would now, and nor would Sam. And that's why they're part of the people looking on like, what did you do?
Okay. So as you were talking, I was thinking about this with the whole idea of like, what are the repercussions of something like this? And how would it maybe pop out somebody that we haven't seen? I think Thunderbolt Ross or somebody of that nature of caliber of like, whoa, 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 we got to rein Captain America back in because this has gotten way out of control. We basically just watched him murder somebody in, you know, what seemingly would be cold blood for everybody that was looking. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I'm thinking, is Thunderbolt Ross just the name works well with Thor? I can make that leap. I can make that logic of this was a misdirect with the Thor part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't have any good speculation. I haven't really dug deep into the YouTubes. And so I've kind of just, what's today? The 13th, you know, two more sleeps and then and Thursday night comes around. I'm probably staying up till midnight this Thursday because I don't want to be spoiled. You know, it's makes for a long Friday, but I can take a nap after work. It's not the end of the world.
So, there you go.
I think that's one of the one thing that I wish I could change about this is that I wish this stuff dropped at Prime, kind of like Amazon does with Invincible. Usually you can see it by about 8, and the boys too, they would usually be on about 8 o'clock Thursday. And I wish that, if nothing else, that they dropped it at midnight Eastern, you know, so that way people on the East Coast are used to staying up late anyways. And then we'd have it at 9 o'clock and then we'd have less people bitching on Friday about like, you posted this on my Marvel thing in Facebook. And then I couldn't stay off Facebook for 8 hours problem. Like, just like, hey, you know, I work in social media, guys. It's not that hard to unplug once in a while. That's
right. It's actually pretty easy. Thoughts on the Bucky's failsafe on his arm?
That was interesting. I didn't see that coming. I mean, it makes sense that they would, even though that he is technically an ally of theirs, that they would build in some sort of failsafe like that. You know, I thought that was funny that he's like, did you know they could do that? He's like, no, he did not look very happy.
Yeah, it was
weird.
Like,
it looked a little hurt that she did that to him.
Yeah, like it was almost, and like, well, let's talk about that for a second, because this is kind of a interesting counterpoint to how this starts with basically, we found out that, you know, basically the one woman from Wakanda was instrumental in deprogramming the Winter Soldier out of Bucky. And
it sounds like her and Shuri were the two
and,
main
and it was very, very, very interesting of a, like an emotional kind of thing where, like, you know, Buck was kind of, you know, he was like, I don't want this to work. And it didn't. And he was kind of he was free, as she said. And then to find out, we did kind of put a little bit of we hedged our bet a little bit. But could his arm really be that? I don't know. Like, in my mind, I was like, it's just an arm, guys. It's not like this is the end all be all. But I guess it does act as a shield. And we have seen that he can drop out of a plane, land on the arm, and survive.
Yeah, and I think part of it is just that it's such a weapon of his, and you see him in the original Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and like you said, he's using it as a shield. It's kind of a battering ram. He does so much with it to even consider being in a fight with one arm tied behind your back with these guys is insane. So to have your arm just fall off, like, it probably like reduced him to a state of like confusion and fear, and just threw him off so much. And part of me, I saw this online, somebody else, a lot of people were poo-pooing it, but I didn't think it was that far off. Wondered if him and was it Io or Ao is her name, maybe had some sort of romantic relationship, which I don't think, you know, is totally off base. And you could see that even after he was deprogrammed in Infinity War, he was still living there farming or something along those lines with one arm. So he obviously kind of bought into the Wakanda lifestyle somewhat and was kind of roughing it and enjoying the peace of that. So maybe in that he met somebody that he cared about, and that's why he looked so hurt when she did that to him.
That's a very interesting theory. I'm willing to buy into that narrative. If they went that far, I'd be like, okay, I can get there. It's not so far off base.
Mm-hmm. And who knows? Maybe she was one of the ones that wasn't snapped, and he came back, and she's with somebody else now, and that's part of the reason there's kind of some cold feelings between the two. And that's kind of the fun thing, is that you can build these little narratives with a line or two, and, you know, or the fans can do it, and then later in a later episode, season two, then go like, yeah, her and I had a thing, but didn't work out. That really screwed me,
Sam. I'll be honest with you, I don't know if, you know, we have WandaVision, we have Falcon Winter Soldier, I don't see these guys going season two.
Some are designed for more and some are not. I know that I heard Feige say that they had planned WandaVision to be a one season thing that rolled into Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. Now this, I don't know that this necessarily lines up with any movies. I think that they said they knew what Falcon and the Winter Soldier season two looked like and what a Loki season two looked like, but they weren't sure about some of these other shows, that it kind of varied from show to show what might get another season. So, and I could see this being another season of this being named something else. It could be Captain America and Bucky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Though, yeah, because and do another buddy cop thing, you know.
I hope that they don't choose Bucky. I mean, the Winter Soldier just sounds so much cooler. But, like, you know, I know that there was a line, you know, with Captain America and Bucky. But, like, I feel like Bucky is such a – it's like Batman and Robin. Like, it just – It's a side character that you know is a G. Willikers type of person. You know, that's the whole real my only beef with using the name Bucky. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know if he has any other names besides that, and then just part of me thinks that he would like. Ooh, that would be interesting, Captain America and the White Wolf. That could be that. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I think. I think that some of these shows, they can be a second season, but they may not even be called the same thing. Kind of like WandaVision. Like, I could see them wanting to do another Wanda show down the line eventually and being like, okay, well, it's not going to be called WandaVision season two, though. It's going to be called whatever, The Scarlet Witch Presents, or, you know, I mean, who knows where they'll be when that comes.
Yeah, I think for WandaVision, that's the part that, like, its whole gimmick is kind of been exhausted now. Like, you can't go back and do that again. You'd have to really rethink it.
Yeah, the only way I think that, unless you maybe wanted to film it in that like fake reality show thing, you wanted to show it like that and then just have it be a normal show, you know, that kind of Office, Parks and Rec style type of third person kind of whatever fake mockumentary type thing, like I could see, and which they made fun of that, but it's almost like if you wanted to do a show like that, you could maybe do that. But yeah, I think that's the other thing that's interesting that Marvel is doing with this TV rollout is they aren't doing the traditional, okay, we're going to roll out a show and then if it's a hit we're going to do another one 12 to 16 months from now.
Yeah, they're almost like, no, planning if you, for, yeah, for it to be one yeah, off.
Yeah, if you look at their schedule, I mean, they have next year all planned out with like She-Hulk, and I don't even know off the top of my head all of them, but you know, they have another year or two of TV shows planned out already. So even if we did get a Falcon and the Winter Soldier season 2, it might not be until 2023, 2024, or it might be that they show up in a movie and then do something else. So I think that's the one thing that's kind of weird slash fun slash interesting about these is it's not like, while it's not a traditional TV show where it's like, hey, this is a great show and you'll get to see these characters again. It's like, no, we made these TV shows so you can see these characters have an adventure that maybe they would have had off screen when we were just doing the movies. But now we get to fill in these gaps and tell more stories and tell more interesting, diverse stuff, as opposed to just the life altering, you know, bang, bang, world almost end stuff.
I have a feeling that that's why they have delayed Black Widow the way they did, because essentially Black Widow's not going to get a spinoff. Potentially not going to get, you know, a Black Widow 2 or Black Widow 3. You know, it's like we're almost getting the public comfortable with the idea of like, this is something we're doing and it's not necessarily going to interconnect. We just want you to enjoy it. And because I think if Black Widow had come out when it was supposed to, I think that there could have been a backlash in that, well, where does this even go? Because we know she dies. You know, it's like Star Wars. Like, you know where the certain beats are, so you can't get around those.
Well, I think that there's going to be certain things it introduces. I mean, we've already heard that Yelena, the actress, or I don't know if it's the actress or the character's name, Yelena something. That's the one that's supposed to be her little sister in the movie, is going to show up in the Hawkeye series, and so. I feel like that show is planting seeds for the future, and who knows, there might be a Black Widow 2 down the line with her in the titular, you know, role, her being the character, you know, taking over the mantle or something like that. But I think the part of the reason they've delayed this is that they know, kind of like you said, there's not going to be three Black Widow movies that all tie into the movies. Like, at best, maybe down the line we'll get a second one with this different character that's taking up her big sister's mantle. But I think that's why they want to maximize the profits on this. I think they looked at it and they said, okay, for us to not push everything on our schedule back, the latest we can do Black Widow is July, because I doubt it ties into Loki. I doubt it ties into the What If things. Yeah. Yeah. So the only thing it's going to affect from now on is the future shows like Hawkeye and stuff like that, and then the movie schedules. And so I think this is kind of – I think they did this on purpose. I think they knew that this was kind of the latest we could go. You know, the movie theaters are back open. That stupid Godzilla versus Kong movie made $60 million over the weekend or something. So people are going to the movies again.
That's been very impressive.
Yeah, so I think that they realize people are going to the movies again. And that even when – I think that California is set to reopen completely, and I'm sure California is going to be like the last one. You know, we're so cautious around here.
Yeah.
And I think it's June 16th. So that's 3 weeks before this movie comes out, 4 weeks, say, give or take. And so I think they looked at it and said, hey, look, it's going to be 6 months where people are going to take to want to be in a crowded theater anyway. So let's release it in July. We'll be the first big movie out there. We'll put it on Disney. The people that don't want to leave the house will pay the $30. The people that are dying to leave the house will pay the 15 or the 20, or like me, if they're still renting out theaters, then I'm dropping $150 and getting a bunch of friends and renting out a theater. Like that's one of the steals of the century right now. So anybody that's vaccinated, I've been kind of telling them like, hey, go out and enjoy stuff while it's still at low capacity. Like people can go to Disneyland right now and there's only 15%. Like that's kind of awesome. The line's got to be short and everything. I went to a baseball game over the weekend. Nobody sat next to you. Nobody sat in front of you. You ordered stuff off the app. It's like, it's kind of an interesting time to go do things right now. If you can, you know, if you're vaccinated or you have access to rapid tests that you can get places.
Yeah. I mean, our consumption has shifted in such a diametrically, you know, groundswell.
I've been watching all for that. This whole pandemic was, how is this going to change us? How are we? One of the things I've noticed is that I got annoyed at myself. I went and picked up sandwiches today and I was watching people pick it up from their DoorDash app. I was like, God, why didn't I look at DoorDash for pickup? I was like, I could have ordered this when I was at Trader Joe's. I would have just picked it up. I'd be at home already. Like I wasted 10 minutes and it was like, oh, about 10 minutes. Who cares? Sat in a sandwich. But it was just kind of one of those things where you realize like, oh, a lot of these businesses have adapted, you know, even if they're not doing delivery services, they've got some sort of online ordering platform. And at the end of the day, wouldn't you rather put in the ticket yourself than call it into somebody who's got a line of three people and they're trying to figure something out and they miss your extra sauce or whatever? Like, I feel like that's one of the things that's going to change is that people are going to interact with each other a lot less and they're going to use a lot more technology.
Have we basically created our own blip?
You know, I've been telling people since last year, you know, when they were trying to do in that thing of telling us, well, we're going to shut down for 4 weeks and then see how it goes kind of thing. I was like, I saw the tea leaves. I was like, hey, everything I read is that when a pandemic hits, it takes a year at the least, maybe 18 months to get back to normal. Like I was warning people like, hey, this is our Dust Bowl. This is our World War II. This is our big, kind of almost like 9/11. There's pre-9/11 and post 9/11 life with certain things, whether it's airports or television or censorship or any of that kind of stuff. And we're going to be pre and post pandemic too. I mean, our kids are going to ask us what it was like to live through this. They're going to read about it in textbooks. It's going to be one of those. And like you said, it's going to change the way we interact with people. I mean, even though I'm vaccinated, I'm still at the store going, that guy's not 6 feet apart. He should back up.
Well, and the closest thing that I had to explaining this, was my mom, was during polio. This is the closest thing where people had to be very careful about even getting in contact with each other. And I mean, the polio scare was freaking awful. I mean, I don't have firsthand experience, but I have secondhand experience in the fact that, like, my father was president of the hospital that Jonas Salk did his vaccinations trials on. I mean, you know, so it's an amazing kind of a time that we've been able to do it so fast. At the same time, because we did it, things have changed. And you know, my work, your work, we're able to work from home. Whether that's good or not, what it does psychologically to you, you know, I think we're starting to see the fallout from that. And also, like, potentially, like, how do I get around it? You know, for me, it may be that I'm not going to be on the West Coast for very much longer. So, you know, and giving the ability to be fully remote might be something that's worthwhile and where we don't have to live in these, you know, dense, packed, expensive places any longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very disappointed to see some of these tech companies kind of rolling out their back to work policies. And I thought I saw something Google was telling people if you wanted to work more than 2 weeks a year from home, that you had to get like specific permission and things like that. I was like, haven't these people learned that, yeah, I think that it's important to have a hub and it's important to get together. And, you know, like my company has if you can be on camera policy, you know, only be audio only if there's some reason that you can't be on camera. Cause it's like, it's good to see each other's faces and to be present for meetings. But at the same time, this whole, you need to be here at 8 o'clock and be here till 5 for a lot of jobs isn't really necessary, especially me working in social media. I mean, I'm constantly responding to people on the couch from my phone because it's 7:30 and we haven't eaten dinner yet and it's cooking. And I'm like, well, I can fire off a little text to this guy and make him not so mad at us right now.
Yeah,
so
following the sun, somebody has a problem and they fill out a help ticket, you know, if I'm not doing anything, sure, I'll field that at 9 p.m. just because. Not because I have to, but because I can.
Well, it's like last night. My fiance was studying for her test this week, and I didn't have anything to do. I was watching an episode of Community, and so I fired up my laptop and created a video that somebody asked me to make for him that I was going to do this morning. But I was like, yeah, let me just get it done now. And so that way, first thing in the morning, I can email her and let it know it's ready. And so I think when you have people that are, I think that's the thing, is that you have to have people willing to do that. I think there's some people that obviously are probably taking advantage, not working as much. But and I took this as an opportunity to see, like, how much work can I produce working from home? So that way, when this comes back, I can be like, hey, I'm working from home pretty good. Why don't you just leave me here? I mean, my company sold our office, so I don't even know, you know, I don't think that we're ever going to be going back. And if we are, who knows what that even looks like. So, and I know that I'm also fortunate in that my dad owns a public business, like a bar. And that when I'm feeling a little stir crazy, I go down there and work from his office and talk to people, because it does get you a little goofy when you're stuck in that house and you haven't talked to anybody. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but almost everybody hits a socially awkward note in a conversation in person these days.
Yeah. Well, you always feel like you're making up for something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, restaurants are kind of like, hey, we're a little behind, like we're a little backed up, and we're both restaurant people. So we go, hey, look, don't worry about us. We're happy to be out. I mean, if this has taught you anything, I mean, I think that you had to really look at your life and your circumstance and appreciate the things you got. You know, I know how much I just look forward to, like, having a barbecue and having people over now, and how in the past that would have been kind of a low totem pole kind of idea versus like going to a comedy show or going to a movie or something. It's like, oh man, how nice is it just to hang out with people, see how they're doing, pat them on the shoulder, you know, have them play with your dog, whatever it is. And I think that that's, you know, I think you and I both have talked about how lucky we've been to work from home and not have, you know, neither of us had to deal with the nightmare of unemployment and did I get my extra payment or not, and do I have enough to pay, you know, when there's a lot of people going through that and you aren't, it really makes you count your blessings. And I think that that's something I hope that people take from this, is how lucky we are that this wasn't worse for a lot of us.
Yeah, indeed. 100%.
Well, so on that note,
we got kind of deep there,
but you know, that's the thing I like about these shows, is they're taking us to deep places. I think the days of he's the good guy, he's the bad guy, punch, punch, good triumphs over evil, that's for little kids now, and we're getting grown up stuff. And I'm here for it. I'm so here for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, folks, we'll just close out and take some time for you today. I don't know what that means. I don't know what exactly you're going to do. Either follow a recommendation or maybe just walk outside. I don't know. Or maybe say hi to somebody. I don't know. But do that today when you listen to this. That's what I ask. That's your homework.
Go for a walk. Get some fresh air.
That's right.
Life's not so bad. Wakanda forever.
There you go. And that will do it. Perfect.